Royals insider is joining us. He's back in studio. Vern, this next 5-6 days is going to be really, really interesting, not only for the standings and a series against the Guardians, but how much do you think this stretch impacts what they do at the deadline? Or is that more just a, hey, we're acting like this 6 games is actually going to change how they operate?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't think it would change how they operate, especially with the one piece that they have, talking about Seth Lugo. You have 103 games of evidence of who this team is, what this offense is, what this group is as far as on the bases, defensively, and most of those things come back that they are a below-average ball club. Listen, if the Royals win all 6 of these games and find themselves 3 games above 500, you know, you've already seen some of the national reporters who, of course, are being fed this by the Royals. You're already seeing some of them come out and say, hey, the Royals would have no issue throwing the franchise tag on Seth Lugo coming up this offseason, which are qualifying offer, I should say. Yeah, talking baseball here.
I knew what you meant, yeah.
Qualifying offer is going to be more than $21 million next season. I think that's a fair price for Seth Lugo, but I think he could get multiple years on the open market. I don't know if he would get more than 50, but if he did, the Royals would get a second-round pick out of it. To me, that right now is the... That's how I'm judging things if I'm J.J. Piccolo. First of all, I want other general managers. I want other organizations to think that I believe in this team still. Because if you call me to prize Seth Lugo away from this ball club, you're also trying to get me to admit to both my owner and the fans that we're done. Because as everyone can clearly see, if you take Seth Lugo from this team with Michael Lorenzen on the shelf and Cole Reagans on the shelf, it's over. This team can't recover from it. They might be able to flirt with 500, possibly, but even that likely not going to happen. So if you trade Seth Lugo, you're waving the white flag on the season. So if I'm J.J. Piccolo, I want other general managers to know that coming in. If you come at me trying to get Seth Lugo, you better come correct with something that can help this team, maybe not vie for a 500 record this season, but someone that can help this team win the division next year. So can I get one of those outfield bats from the Chicago Cubs? Somebody that can hit the ball over the fence in 2026. I'll pull the trigger on that for Seth Lugo. But if the offers come in and none of them impress me as much as a possible second round pick, no, I'll hang on to Seth Lugo. But I'll be floored if the deadline coming up on Thursday, deadline drives deals, I have to imagine the price tag will exceed a second round pick prior to July 31st. So regardless of what happens over the next 6 games, I still believe that Seth Lugo must be moved. Outside of that, you could take all these guys to the deadline, talking about a Carlos Estevez, Angel Zerpa, John Schreiber, Steven Cruz. Take your pick of the relievers. I'm fine taking any of them to the deadline, but Lugo's the only one that I'll be disappointed if he's still on the team in a week.
What's your appetite for pairing Lugo with the deals that are being pitched over at the Athletic? So you pair Lugo, you give up one of your better prospects, and then get a guy like Duran in an effort to put a guy on the field immediately who has put up big, big league numbers at least once.
All for it. Yeah, I'd trade Blake Mitchell, Ramon Ramirez, link him up with Seth Lugo. I'd do that for Jaron Duran, no question about it. You look at his numbers for the past 3 seasons, I know his offense is down slightly this year, but he's still better than a league average hitter. He's an electric factory that you could plug at the top of your lineup. And the Duran, Bobby, Mikel, 1-2-3. Not many ball clubs outside of Los Angeles are able to bring that type of dynamic 5-tool talent at you in the 1-2 spots in the lineup. So, I would do that. And again, his numbers might be down slightly this season, but there's also been quite a bit going on in Boston that could easily, maybe not take his attention away from what matters most, but could be a distraction, right? Knowing that all of a sudden I go from the All-Star Game MVP and one of the faces of this Boston franchise to a guy that's expendable, I can understand a slight regression this season from the outstanding 5-tool talent that is Jaron Duran. I'd be all about that.
Vern, he genuinely feels like the type of player I feel like the Royals try to draft every year in the first round. Like, this is the exact player they attempt to draft and develop every time in the last 15 years in their history.
Yeah, without question. And if you look throughout this organization right now, and really if you look around Major League Baseball, man, it's tough to develop talent, period. But the Royals have developed some young pitching talent. They have some young hitting talent. But the next wave, to me, of real talent outside of Carter Jensen are the pitchers you have down in A-ball. So, you know, help offensively doesn't appear on the way within the organization. I mean, the guys that you drafted last week are, you know, at least 3 years away, a pair of prep bats. So, yeah. Unless you want to spend this offseason in free agency, and shoot, even if you make this deal, you still likely need to do that. But, you know, Jaron Duran, Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, Vinny, and Jack Caglione heading into 26. You know, you felt good about the core coming into this season, and I think you would feel even better about the core next season.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joining us here on Cody and Gold. MJ Melendez back up from AAA. Nick Lofton goes to the concussion list. Do you think this is a short stint, or do you think he will be up, unless he's part of a trade, I guess, do you think MJ Melendez will be up the rest of the season now?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. You look at that bench right now, and it doesn't instill much confidence that this is a playoff roster. You know, Luke Maley continues to hold down a roster spot that I think that has I think it has to do with the presence that he brings in the clubhouse. You watch the way that this guy works, the dugout during a game, you know, the conversations change in the clubhouse and in the dugout when Luke Maley's around. It's a higher class of baseball conversation when he's around. Now, much like the need for Adam Frazier, I don't think it's a great reflection of what's going on inside that clubhouse right now. You know, for as much as we all remember the Raul Labania speech back in 2014. That 2014 team hadn't done anything, right? They didn't have really any veterans that have been to the postseason outside of James Shields. You know, Jeremy Guthrie had been around for a while, but that's about it. You know, everybody in this clubhouse has been to the postseason before, and while fans are screaming about Mac Cutrero and, oh, I want my manager to show more passion, 2015, that with all due respect to Ned Yost, that team wasn't led by its manager. No, it was led by Shields and then Hosmer and Salvi and the leaders inside that clubhouse. So for as much as people want to gripe about the at times laconic skipper of this team, if you want to see passion, it's got to come from the players. It needs to come from inside that clubhouse. And that to me is how desperate they are for it, that they bring in an Adam Frazier, that they keep Luke Maley on this roster for the time being. But no, when push comes to shove again, and this is why it was so disappointing and maybe for some surprising when they sent down MJ Melendez, is because you don't have anybody else that has that potential. You know, for people that have been screaming about Jack Caglione and maybe he needs to go to Omaha. Okay. The issue for this team is they don't hit home runs. Massey, Melendez, and Renfro were expected to hit bombs this year. They hit three. You know, Caglione has power. You need power. MJ has power. And if this team's going to get on some sort of a run down the stretch, they're going to need the big flies, right? That's how they won these games on the road, and that's how they're going to win moving forward. They don't hit home runs at home, and if they're going to turn this thing around down the stretch, they need to start. And we've seen MJ hit home runs at Kauffman Stadium. Let's hope we see him hit a lot more.
Vern, do you think that there's part of the team that's making it difficult on the pitching decision end? Like, what do we do with Lorenzen? What do we do with Lugo? Not knowing how healthy they can count on Cole Reagans being in the future? I feel like some of these things are held up in this world where you're like, how much do we trust he's going to be a part of the rotation for sure next year, right? When you're trying to make a decision about which way to go on some of these names.
Like, you're concerned about Reagans next year?
Yeah, like, are they thinking about that, I guess, in the long-term sense to be like, well, I mean, you know, there's a chance we could get Lugo back or what, you know, like, just now that he has been injured for them versus before,
right,
he just
came in
and he was healthy for you.
Yeah, certainly. You know, a shoulder injury, rotator cuff, yeah, that's obviously cause for concern. But to me, the Seth Lugo, about to turn 36 when you still have two more years of Michael Wacha. I just don't know how sound of an investment that is, especially with the emergence of Noah Cameron. So, you know, the uncertainty, if there is long-term uncertainty, and I haven't heard that when it comes to Reagans, but, you know, if there is, there is no way to truly offset that, but you still feel good next year about possibly Bubich, Cameron, Michael Wacha. That's a pretty strong 1-2-3, and yeah, I'm fully expecting a healthy Cole Reagans. So Seth Lugo to me looks like looks the same as Brady Singer did a season ago, right? One of them has to go, Bubich or Lugo. You're not bringing both of them back next season, and you know, Bubich is a different conversation. You know, that's likely an off-season move, much like Brady Singer was.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think the injury to Cole Reagans has them thinking differently about Lugo nor Lorenzen long term. Both could be back, sure, but I don't think it's directly tied to Cole Reagans in 2026 just yet.
Vern, maybe you can answer this. I don't know if the rumors are true that are out there, but is Bink doing post game Saturday night so you can go to the Flo Rida concert at the K, or is that not true?
No, Bink is going to the Flo Rida concert.
Okay, okay,
and he said he's going to miss
Bink is going to be at Flo Rida?
Yeah. Bink's big into Flo Rida. And I do find it funny is all the advertising for that concert is T-Pain.
Yeah,
like they don't ever play Flo Rida rapping. It's always T-Pain and those very catchy hooks, which is, you know, if you're going to the concert, it's going to be like going to the club, basically. Because it's dancing to T-Pain and then listening to someone scream into a microphone. I mean, I can't believe that Flo Rida puts on that good of a show. You tell me T-Pain's going to be there, and I'm there. Flo Rida on his own. Listen to the post-game show.
It's so funny, like, the different ones I've seen over the years there. Because Gold said he went to one for
Ice, Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice.
Ice, baby, Vanilla Ice.
And I saw Lauryn Hill there one year. It's like, it's a really, really mixed bag there, Vern.
It is strange. And then, now maybe I've only been to big Chiefs games lately, but the concerts they have on, like, the drum deck are better than the ones that they have at Kauffman Stadium.
It's the same tier, I would say. Yeah, I would say it's very similar tier. Whoever, like, I'm guessing Flo Rida's been doing, like, Vanilla Ice.
Lil Jon turned out Arrowhead from the drum deck in the postseason a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he did.
True. I do know Vanilla Ice did a bunch of baseball stadiums the year they did that. My guess is Flo Rida's doing the same. So
for
I don't
sure.
know if it's
Shaq
some company
last year.
Some company sends out a pitch during spring training to all the big league clubs and promotions company, and they all, you know what? Yeah, we'll check this box. We'll have them this year too.
Yeah, I wonder where that tier stands. Right, like Arrowhead's number one. You know, Taylor Swift,
sure.
Sprint Center's two is. Is that Kauffman? Because it's not Billy Joel's Kauffman Stadium concert. It's Royals Guardians as two teams below 500 try to convince themselves they're still in the race. Where does that rank? Is that better than
better
one of the outdoor? Is it better than Sandstone?
I don't think so. And there's a brand new facility that they're building out in Riverside too. I think it looks amazing, but I don't know, man. That's true. It's a little bit further down. I saw Flo Rida is also at the Missouri State Fair this year, like 3 weeks after.
Not great. If you're playing Sedalia, you got.
Well, I'd rather go to that than the Kauffman Stadium one.
Because if you're kicking it in
Sedalia and all of a sudden Flo Rida shows up, hey, that's something.
Vibes.
At least I got some funnel cakes and. So I guess I can get that out of the case.
Vern, I was trying to decide if it's worth the expense. We're going to be in Vegas, obviously, for our trip out to Circa for contest week, and Backstreet Boys are playing the Sphere, and I was trying to think about it.
I've heard that if you have a chance to do anything at the Sphere, do it. So
I know.
I would say go for it.
And it's the Backstreet Boys could be fun. Now, tickets are a little pricey. We're talking about $400 to get in. Yeah.
Gold, you should. I don't know if you're still single, but that's got to be a hotbed. For
Backstreet Boys, that's true. That's a good call.
I mean, especially for, I mean, you know, I'm a little bit older, but especially my age.
Yeah.
Man. Stay away from it,
Mrs.
Cody.
There,
actually,
you know?
Cody, stay away from it.
That's a dangerous setup for anybody else.
Because they're all drinking, and they all think that they're 18 still. And
they all feel, yeah, they're all just like
sloppy.
Back into the boy band. They're like, oh, I'm 19 again. You're
right.
Like, no.
You know what's perfect, though, Vern? The concert's on a Friday night. As far as we're concerned, after about 2 o'clock Vegas time Friday, our obligations work-wise are over. So
burn it down.
You know, yeah.
I mean, Gold doesn't want to risk another elevator incident with me, I don't think, in Vegas, you know?
That's fair.
I don't, he probably would try to avoid that.
By the way, today's the first time I put anything on Instagram that we were going to Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see. if we get a message or at least a like on the story.
You never know. She still follow you?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
She's about to find out. Gold's about to be in Vegas again.
Oh boy!
All right, our residency.
Vern, appreciate you hanging out with us, man.
All right, appreciate it. Viva Cody and Gold.